We're going to be having a wee bit of a shift of focus today when it comes to the idea of facing life after the storm. Many times when we look at scripture, and many times when we come to moments like this, we'll look at times, where Jesus encountered a storm, where his disciples encountered a storm. But I want us to think today about life after the storm. I want us to move forward a wee bit. And I'm going to tell you this because you know I'm totally honest with you, totally transparent with you. I just tell you as it is. But this week, as it got to the end of the week, I had a wee bit of a struggle. Don't know if anybody else was the same. The start of the week, though, I was totally inspired as I had the honour of conducting Mr. Willie Scollin's Thanksgiving service. And I was able to tell his story of life and faith. And I have to tell you folks that that wee man who would be sitting just down there normally on a Sunday when he could be here, getting to tell his story and getting to just highlight that the foundation for everything in that man's life started in May 1947 when he put his faith in Jesus. And from that moment on, everything else was built on that moment, built on that foundation, and that's what mattered. So it was an honour to be able to tell his story, and I'm going to tell you part of his story one Sunday. Through some of you are there, and thank you for being able to come and support Brian and Jan and the whole family, David and Emma. They so appreciated it. But Willie left a letter that he wanted to be read at that service. But I'm going to read it one week at this service because I think everybody needs to hear it. So from Monday, we got to Tuesday. We had life groups. It was absolutely brilliant. I've done 3 lots of Alpha this week, which has been amazing. Cracking response to this winter project. Things starting to fly. Every time checking, there's another donation in. There's another donation in. There's another donation in. And Faith ordering the 100 jackets. Sending Raymond up to Stirling to pick them up, to bring them down so they could be start to be distributed. And everything was going amazing. This week, seeing God open the eyes and hearts of people in real time, it's honestly been fascinating. And then suddenly Friday hits. And Friday was a wee bit of a washout for me. Friday was quite an emotional day for me. You know how sometimes things get your mind going and you start a bit thinking, Friday, do you know what? I really miss my wee da. I had a dream Thursday night into Friday night and it knocked me for 6 the whole of Friday, literally. I couldn't pick myself up. It was so difficult. I felt as if I'd hit a wall. And thinking back to last Sunday, we talked about facing giants. Well, Friday, I faced a giant head on. And that giant was grief. And that giant almost took the wind out of my sails. But actually the brilliant thing was, as much as I missed my wee da, it then started to bring back memories of my wee da. I decided, because we had live streamed it, I decided to watch the funeral again. You maybe think, John, that wasn't a good idea. You were in a fragile state, but I did. And my pastor, David, who stood here and who told part of my dad's story, recounted that moment in my dad's life when everything changed in the living room in View Park when he gave his life to Jesus. And I was reminded again of what God can do through that wee prayer of a wee boy, Lord, save my dad. And then the crazy thing is, David actually texted me yesterday out of the blue. And I was like, mate, I was just watching you yesterday. And actually, you were part of the encouragement that helped me face that giant of grief and helped me to try and refocus. And then Friday night, we went to see Philippa Hannah in Glasgow singing. And again, what a precious moment just to get out of that moment of being so flat, so down, so low, so emotional, to then go and get my eyes fixed again on Jesus. So that's why I tell you folks, when we come to these moments, I'm no preaching at you, right? I'm no telling you how you should do it. I'm saying, God, you teach me, show me how to do this. Because I'm struggling, I'm finding this hard. This is a difficult moment. And God helps us through. It was a moment where I said, God, I need you. God, I want to hear from you. God, I'm struggling. And I don't know if there's somebody in this room today or somebody that's watching online right now that has said one of those three statements or all of those three statements this week. God, I need you. God, I want to hear from you. God, I am struggling. And then Friday night, a storm, Amy, hit. It was absolutely chaos outside. The wind was blowing. We saw damaged buildings, trees coming down. It just seemed to be that everything was going wrong. Now, we had been told to prepare for the storm. We've been told how to protect our properties and to protect ourselves. We've thought about, in recent days, about how God can help us to have peace through the storm. And often once the storm's passed, it's then that we have to rebuild, we have to repair what has been damaged in order to fix it, to keep going. And that's why today I want us to think about life after the storm, living after the storm. Because what I discovered when this thought came into my head, and when, as I was preparing to come today, I recognized, you know what happened after the storm? God moved. Honestly, it's incredible. We're going to look at some of these thoughts today. One of the things that I want us just to, before we go any further today, is I want to just give you this challenge, and I'm probably going to repeat this through the whole of this message today, is that please don't get stuck in the storm. Right? Don't get stuck in the storm. And I'll tell you how, what my thoughts are on that in a wee minute. We're also going to think, and I want you to think about how easy it is to create a storm. And you'll know that, and I know that. And actually sometimes, and it's a strange thing how our mind works, but sometimes we can find comfort actually in the chaos. We almost get comfortable in the storm, what's going on. It becomes our norm, and it was never intended to be our norm. So how do we get past it? How do we live after the storm? We looked recently as a church at one of my favourite stories in the Bible where Peter got out and walked in the water. Incredible moment. A step of faith over the side of that boat. They were in the middle of a storm. Things were chaotic. They were terrified, not just of the storm, but as Jesus walked towards them. And Peter gets out of the boat and he sees Jesus and he takes his eyes off Jesus and he begins to sink. And Jesus, when Peter shouts out, Lord, save me, literally he grabbed him and he immediately brought him up. And the disciples in that moment were asking a question. Jesus, you know, who is this man? Who is this Jesus? Who is the one that can calm the storms? I want us to look today, if you've got a Bible with you, if you've got a smartphone or a tablet or whatever you've got, I want you to look up Mark chapter 4. This is another storm that Jesus finds himself in with the disciples. And we're not going to focus on the storm today, right? We're going to get past the storm, but I need you to hear the storm first. Again, the disciples are terrified with what they face. This time though, Jesus isn't on a mountainside watching them. Jesus isn't walking in the water to come towards them. It tells us that Jesus is asleep on the boat with his head in a cushion. Listen to these verses from Mark chapter 4, verse 35. As evening came, Jesus said to the disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. He was already in the boat, so they started out leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm arose. High waves began to break into the boat until it was nearly full of water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head in a cushion. Frantically, they woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you even care that we're going to drown? And when he woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the water, quiet down. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And he asked them, why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith in me? And they were filled with awe and said amongst themselves, who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him. Here they are, they're caught in the storm. This is real life. This is in real time. They're in real danger. But they wake up Jesus, and Jesus calms the storm with just a couple of words. Incredible, right? But I was thinking about this. Imagine after this experience. Imagine after the experience with Peter walking in water. Imagine the experience here with the disciples experienced that. They decided just to sit in the memory and the moment of what's just happened. What if they allowed that to cripple them? What if they allowed that to stop them from going forward? What if they continued to have little faith? And rather than moving in faith, they would decide to stay put where they were, just in case. Don't know if you've ever done that before. You've stopped yourself moving forward because what if this happens? What if this is the outcome? What if it doesn't work out? What happens if we get stuck and we get comfortable even in the chaos that we experience? I know that sounds really, really strange, but I've been thinking sometimes that's my reality. Rather than moving forward, I'll just stay where I am. I'll stay in this thought. I'll stay in this feeling. I'm going to stay where I am rather than moving forward. Because see, when we read Mark chapter 5 and we continue going on, and we could do this with the other storm as well, we're going to take a whirlwind tour of Mark chapter 5 today to see what happens when you move forward, life after the storm. Last week I said to you to think about 40 days of facing your giant with faith. And I suppose what I'm trying to say today is, can we experience 40 days of momentum moving forward and keep moving forward? So let's look at what happened immediately after the storm. Let's think about what happened next. And I'm going to, again, be totally honest with you on this. In the early hours of Saturday morning when I woke up, after having gone to bed with the wind howling outside, I really felt God saying to me, John, you need to be ready for what's going to happen next. You need to be expecting what's going to happen next. You need to be moving forward into the next chapter, because you could easily get comfortable where you are. So I want us to think about this, and we're literally going to do a whirlwind tour of what happened next, right? So Mark chapter 5, verse 5, bear in mind, they've just asked the question, who is this Jesus? They've just experienced this miracle. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the land of the Gerasenes. Just as Jesus was climbing from the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit ran out from a cemetery to meet him. The man lived among the tombs and could not be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and he smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to control him. All day long and throughout the night, he would wander among the tombs and in the hills, screaming and hitting himself with stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him and he ran to meet Jesus and fell down before him. He gave him a terrible scream, shrieking, "Why are you bothering me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? For God's sake, don't torture me." For Jesus has already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked, "What is your name?" And the spirit replied, "Legion," because there are many of us here inside this man. Then the spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. But there happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding in the hillside nearby. "Send us into the pigs," the evil spirits begged. And Jesus gave them permission, so the evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of 2,000 pigs plunged down into the steep hillside into the lake where they drowned. The herdsmen fled to the nearby city and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. Everyone rushed out to see for themselves. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, but they were frightened when they saw the man who had been demon-possessed. For he was sitting there, fully clothed, and perfectly sane. Those who had seen what happened to the man and to the pigs told everyone about it, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and to leave them alone. When Jesus got back into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go too. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your friends and tell them what wonderful things the Lord has done for you, how merciful he has been." And the man started off to visit 10 towns of that region and began to tell everyone about the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. There's the first thing that happened. Jesus meets this guy who has an impure spirit, who's bound by this. Every day of his life is filled with darkness. Every day of his life is filled with no hope. We hear in the story he's actually causing himself harm as a result of this spirit. In fact, these spirits, legion, there's many of us who are possessing this guy. And it says no one else could control him. No one else could, I suppose, make any difference. But Jesus could. And the disciples with their own eyes saw what happened after the storm had gone down. Jesus' momentum, meeting legion where he was at and literally setting them free. I want to ask you today, do you need to be set free by Jesus? Is there something in your life that is literally causing you to be in a dark place, a difficult place? A place that's disturbing. In fact, it's a place that might be destroying you today. And whatever you've tried and wherever you've looked, nothing's been able to help you. But I want to tell you today that Jesus can set you free. And that's what happens after the storm. That's what happens when Jesus turns up. That's what the disciples would have witnessed. But you could imagine what would have happened if the disciples had just stayed with the boat. If they just stayed where they were at, just stayed in the experience they had had before, they would never have moved forward. They would have never witnessed that moment. And as we read through the rest of Mark chapter 5, we again see that Jesus encountered the synagogue ruler Jairus. And his wee girl, 12-year-old, was seriously sick. And he begged for Jesus to come and to spend some time with him. Jairus was putting himself out here. He was a deeply religious guy. All of his peers would have been looking down on Jesus, skeptical of Jesus. In fact, afraid of Jesus. But Jairus this day comes forward and he comes straight before Jesus and he throws himself in desperation, it tells us. In verse 23, he says, "She's about to die." And we hear the heart of this dad as he says to Jesus, "Please come and place your hands on her. Heal her so that she can live." But as Mark chapter 5 continues, a curveball comes in because a lady touches the hem of Jesus' garment. And Jesus stops to encounter her. Jesus stops to heal her. Jesus stops to value her and to see her for who she was. This woman had been ill for years and years and years and nothing could fix it. But this day, meeting Jesus was going to change everything. But as we read down in the passage, we discover that as Jesus is there speaking to this woman, we discover in verse 35, while he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from Jairus' home with the message, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher." There's a wee family who's in the middle of a storm. There's a wee family that thought that was it. There's a wee family who thought there was no more hope. But what does Jesus say next? He says to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." Don't be afraid. Just believe. And the brilliant thing is when they arrive at that house that day, what seemed to be final and what seemed to be finished, certainly in Jairus' daughter's life, Jesus comes in and he says these words, "Get up, little girl." And life is brought back into this wee lassie and she has something to eat. And the people were absolutely amazed. And actually, if you continue and as you look at what happened through the rest of the Gospels and you see the people that Jesus touched, the people that Jesus changed, the people that Jesus transformed. There was momentum built. They were always moving. They didn't stay still very often. But as I was thinking about that, what happens as we live after the storm? I want to ask you, are you ready today to move on from the storm that you're in and to move into the place where God wants you to be? Are you ready today to experience new life? Are you ready today to experience freedom? Are you ready today to experience healing? Are you ready today to experience Jesus and then to see what Jesus is going to do next? Because everybody that Jesus met, and whatever page you turn to in the Gospels, they were all going through their personal storm. But what happened next was going to be important. Legion was totally in chains and totally consumed, and then he was totally free because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The spirits that had been living in them were trying to destroy him, and the spirit that would live in him there would want him to have life and life in all its fullness. And that's the same for you and me today. I actually think it's quite interesting when Legion says, right, Jesus, can I come in the boat with you? Because actually the disciples, again, sometimes we get gripped with fear. You can imagine as they were thinking, are we going back in that boat again, Jesus? Do you know what we've just experienced? There's no chance I'm going in that boat. Back in that water. Back to where I was. No doing it. But no, it tells us that they get back in the boat. And Legion, he says, can I come with you? Can I come on this journey with you? He was definitely all in wanting to follow Jesus. And Jesus says, no, you're not coming. I want you to go and tell everybody you meet about the transformation that's happened. Because he could have went with Jesus that day, and he could have went on that journey, and he could have ended up witnessing what was happening with Jairus and what happened to that woman. But he had a job to do, to go and tell everybody. And what was the result? It says everyone was amazed at what he had told them. People are amazed at transformed lives, by the way. People are amazed at seeing what God is doing in your life and my life in real time. Seeing the peace that makes no sense when it's hitting you, when it's applying to you, when it's real to you. And sometimes we forget that our testimony comes out of a storm. And I wonder if that's your reality today, that your testimony has come out of a storm. But what's God going to do as he takes you forward? Storms become stories of faith, I believe. And storms become strength for the future. And storms also become a catalyst for the next step. And I believe that's what God's been teaching me this week. Last week I told you I saw miracle moments, literally. This past couple of weeks, I've seen God do things that I could never ask or imagine. But then again, I was faced with that storm on Friday, faced with that giant. And quite easily could I just stayed there in self-pity. Woe to me. I can't get through this. But God can. And I think it's important that we're able to do that. So I want you to think about your life right now. And if you have been going through a storm, or you are currently going through a storm, if you are facing giants and you're still currently overshadowed by those giants, what's going to happen next? What's your next move? What's your next step? I was thinking as I come up here on Saturday morning to assess the damage. Sometimes we have to do that in our own lives, don't we? Assess the damage of what the storms of our life has caused us. Then we need to look to say, how do we restore and repair? How do we fix? How do we allow God to fix it? Many people in this weekend will be waiting for Monday morning to phone their insurer to find out, to calculate the cost of the damage that was there. And nobody in their right mind would look and say, my house is damaged, but I'll just leave it that way. My car's damaged. I'll just leave it that way. Nobody in their right mind would just leave things that way when somebody has said, listen, I'll come and I'll fix it. I'll come and repair it. I'll come and restore it. And that's what Jesus does with our lives today. Jesus can come in and he can fix the damage. Jesus can come in and restore and repair. Why? Because he wants us to move forward in his step and his path for his purpose. And that's why I believe today it's so important we don't get stuck in the memory of the storm. Get ready to move into the breakthrough moment. Do you know what happens after a storm? Do you ever pay attention to what happens after a storm? Well, I looked it up because I'm not that clever. I thought, let's have a wee nosy and see what's the results of a storm. Well, actually, the air is clearer because all the stuff literally been blown to Kilsyth. I'm only kidding, Kilsyth folks, sorry about that. But the air's clearer. They often say that actually the environment looks richer because see, when you've had that much rain and it waters and it nourishes, then the place starts to look a wee bit greener as well. There's a wee bit more life after the storm. And I was thinking about that for our lives as well. That's my prayer, is God, help me to see things more clearly. Help me to see what you want me to see. In fact, enrich my life. Help me to grow. Help me to learn. Help me understand. We thought about that a couple of weeks ago when Chris was sharing. Rather than thinking, why me? Thinking, what is God teaching me? In order that I can face the next storm. In order that I can face the next situation. Because you'd think that with this situation, that you know, the disciples would go, we'll never face another storm again because we've got Jesus. Well, no, they were in another storm with Jesus, weren't they? But I tell you these things because my prayer this weekend has been, God, I don't want to stay in the circumstances and scenario of the storm that I've been in. I want to move forward. I want to experience what you want me to experience. I want to learn from what you want me to learn. I want to experience breakthrough. I want to let go and I want to step into the impossible. Because that's what God does. And it's interesting that as the disciples asked in Mark chapter 4, who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Your answer to that question will directly impact what's next in your life, what's next in your next move. You might think of Jesus as a historical figure. You might think of Jesus as someone who was just a myth. You might think of Jesus that, yeah, he made a difference for the time. But when you see that Jesus is a savior of the world and your savior and mine, when you can see who he is and what he did on that cross so that you could be saved, so that you could be transformed and so that you could move forward, then that changes everything. And if you are currently going through a storm, or if you're currently going through a circumstance today that's literally battering you,